We've been looking crosswords, and one of the great statements Jesus made from the cross was, "It is finished." But for those who were around the cross that day, they must have wondered, what does Jesus mean? In the darkness and the gloom of that first Good Friday, I'm sure one disciple turned to the other and said, "Jesus must mean, I'm done. No more. No more shedding of blood, no more pain, no more anguish. I can't bear it anymore. I'm done. I've had enough." For those first followers of Jesus, there's a strong possibility. A phrase like "the cross changes everything" was fiction. For them, the cross changed nothing. They went away. We know they were discouraged. We know they were confused. We know they were frustrated. They were full of fear. They had put their confidence and trust in Jesus. Many had left everything to follow him. And they wondered, what does all this mean? The cross changes nothing. Early that first Easter Sunday morning, a few women went to pay honor and respect to the body of Jesus. They went to the graveyard. They were prepared to perhaps lay some flowers outside of the tomb. And they discovered the stone had been rolled away. They were sure that maybe someone had removed or stolen the body of Jesus. Peter and John, two disciples, went to investigate. They even went right into the tomb. And indeed, they discovered that the tomb was empty. And then Mary, a young lady who had lived a very troubled life, a lot of discouragement, lots of hopelessness. She had placed her faith and hope in Jesus. She had confidence that he had forgiven her sins. And she went to the empty tomb. And she was heartbroken to discover it empty. And in the distance, she thought what was the gardener, and she cried out to him and expressed words of grief. And then all of a sudden, this supposed gardener simply said, "Mary." And at that moment, she realized that it was Jesus. And we're told that not only for Mary, but there were some disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. And the message that got around and circulated that very first Easter is the message that we celebrate today. He's alive! He is alive! The tomb could not hold him. The grave is no longer. He is alive! We could put our hope and our confidence and faith in him. God gave the greatest rubber stamp in history, the greatest affirmation of what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished." All the consequences, all the burdens, everything to do with sin, Jesus dealt with it when he died on the cross. When he said, "It is finished, it is not, I am finished," the penalty of sin has been looked after. I've paid the full price in full. Justice has been done. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. God confirmed it. God verified it on that very first Easter Sunday morning. And all the stories up to that point, all the men and women up to that point who had experienced change knew that it was for real. That the cross changes everything. That the resurrection changes everything. And it's that message that needs to be infused even into the story of Zacchaeus. Hey, we've been looking at the story over the last week. This is our third and final session of looking at this interesting passage in Luke 19, 1 to 10. And this morning again, I'd invite you, compel you to imagine. Just imagine. Can you imagine what it... No wonder it's one of our favorite stories. Great Sunday school story, but is it ever a great story for people like you and me? The story of Zac, the story of Zacchaeus. Why have we been looking at this story over the last week? It may seem to be an awkward fit for Easter time. We've keyed in on a couple of verses in Luke 24. Keep in mind that Jesus has just risen from the dead. He's gathered his followers, his disciples around him. And listen carefully to what Jesus says. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer. That's what we considered Good Friday. And he will rise from the dead on the third day. It's what we're celebrating this morning. And repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Our risen Lord wants this message preached, especially in light of his death and resurrection. The message of forgiveness of sins and the message of repentance. And I cannot think of a better place to find that message so vivid and so real as in Luke 19, 1 to 10. The passage that was so beautifully illustrated to us over the last few minutes. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read Luke 19, 1 to 10 together. Luke 19, 1 to 10. It's in your bulletin, also on the screen behind me. And let's read these verses, given what we have just seen, and let's read it well and with special emphasis this Easter Sunday morning. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And you may be seated. Zacchaeus' salvation story is indeed a very wonderful story. We're told right at the beginning of Luke 19 that Jesus was passing through Jericho. Where was he headed? He was headed to Calvary. This is significantly placed by Luke, this story in the gospel account. He wants us to have an insight into this interaction that happened just before the crucifixion. Zacchaeus, we've been considering this fellow over the last three services. A wee little man, short in stature, very wealthy. Hey, did you know what the name Zacchaeus means? It's quite ironic. The name Zacchaeus means the righteous one. I find that ironic, actually sad and comical. Here's a man who had a reputation of being the most notorious sinner in Jericho. And yet he had been named the righteous one. I would bet that he was very well of the disappointment and the concern about that name. A tax collector. Tax collectors were regarded as traitors to the Jewish people. They had sold out to the Roman Empire. They were hated. They were despised. And here is Zacchaeus. He wants just a glimpse of Jesus. He wants to see what everybody's been talking about. He was aware of all that had happened up to that point in time. The story of blind Bart that we've looked at over the last services is right before this account in Luke 19. Zacchaeus aware of a lot of people who had encounters with Jesus that changed their lives. But I bet Zacchaeus' question was, but can he change my life? It's not an unusual question because it's a question some of you have. You've come here this morning, Easter Sunday, and you're asking, hey, I know that Jesus was able to change the lives of many, many men and women in the Bible, but can he change my life in 2013? The hopelessness, the despair, the confusion, the frustration that I experience every day, can this same Jesus change all that? Zacchaeus wanted just a glimpse of Jesus. He climbs the tree. The fact that he ran, he climbed the tree, as was brought out so well this morning, was very unusual, very undignified for a chief tax collector. First of all, to run in his robes and then to climb a tree. We look at that from a Western perspective. It seems quite reasonable. But back then, it would have been embarrassing, humiliating. But Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus. But you know what is exciting? Jesus was determined to see Zacchaeus. We could ask the question, who was looking for who? I was in the mall the other day. And there was a young teenager, and he came up to his dad, and he goes, Dad, I've been looking all over for you. And the dad goes, but I've been looking all over for you. Who was looking for who? I would suggest to you that Jesus came to earth looking for, seeking out men and women like Zacchaeus. Can you imagine when, in that crowd of thousands, Jesus cried out the name Zacchaeus. It would have been like it was for Mary in the garden there where Jesus, the risen Jesus, said, Mary. When Jesus says, Zacchaeus. And if you listen carefully this morning, Jesus is calling out your name. Ears of faith will enable you to hear your name. Oh, you just came for a Easter service, but today Jesus is calling your name. And he's saying, Bill, Bob, Mary, Sally, I've been looking for you. You may not know it, but I've been looking for you all your life. And what a wonderful story. As Zacchaeus responds to the call of Jesus. And we want to break that down over the next few minutes. We want to look at Zacchaeus' salvation story. This wonderful story of repentance and forgiveness. Zacchaeus experienced forgiveness. He had been used to passing out bills. We've seen that over the last week. He had a lot of IOUs that he collected from people, but he didn't realize he had been accumulating a major IOU. And as we sang last Sunday, Jesus Christ paid a debt that he did not owe. Zacchaeus had a debt that he could not pay. Zacchaeus needed someone who could wash his sins away. And that's the wonderful message of Easter. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus experienced all the consequences and burdens of sin. And it's that that gave him reason to cry out, "It is finished. Our sins are forgiven." Zacchaeus experienced the wonderful forgiveness that comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what some of you need this morning. There's guilt. and there's shame. There's things you've done. There's things you've said. Others here aren't aware. You sense that God's aware and you feel great shame. You feel just like Zacchaeus. And this morning, the great message of Easter is there is forgiveness of sins. The risen Jesus, that first Easter, said, if you're going to preach anything, if you're going to get any message out to the nations, to the people of Canada, to the people of London, make sure it's the message of forgiveness. In my name, there is forgiveness of sins. We can be clean. We can be pure before the Lord, all because of what Jesus has done for us. The wonderful message of forgiveness. It is, as we've said, the ultimate search and rescue mission. Years ago, we used to sing the old hymn, Rescue the Perishing. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to rescue you. He came to rescue me. But there's another message that we want to emphasize this morning. It's this message of repentance. Now, repentance in some circles has become very controversial. And we look at the story of Zacchaeus and we could get into a big debate. Did Zacchaeus repent and then he experienced forgiveness, or was he forgiven and then he repented? I am a simple guy. I see it all as a package deal. Salvation includes the forgiveness of sins, and it includes repentance. Repentance means to turn from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. It fundamentally has to represent and mean change. So in his house, Zacchaeus did not say to Jesus, Jesus, thank you for seeing me. Thank you for being willing to forgive my sins. But I'd like to kind of live life my own way. I'd like to continue to be Lord of my own domain and Lord of my life. Not for a second. Real faith and real salvation, by its very nature, means change. And though some of us find it a little awkward that you've got this section in the story where Zacchaeus is saying, hey, Lord, I'm going to make things right. I'm going to go back to those that I've cheated. I'm going to give them more than required. It's not that that was a requirement of Zacchaeus' salvation, but it was the fruit of his salvation. It's what happens when your heart changes. Zacchaeus wanted to make things right. Repentance. And John the Baptist, when he preached repentance before the days of Jesus, he said, make sure you're demonstrating the fruits of repentance. Hey, for without it, you really have not had a true, authentic encounter with Jesus Christ. The power to change. Indeed, the cross changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. Jesus changed Zacchaeus. Jesus can change you. And some of us have been changed because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power to change. And you say, what does this have to do with Tim Hortons? At the end of this month, I have the privilege of being honored and giving the graduation address at Kawartha Lakes Bible College. My 25th year teaching at Kawartha Lakes Bible College. But remember, I started teaching when I was 12, just to give some context. And over the years, I've met many fine young men and young women, but this year I've really connected with a student. Her name is Julia, and I share this with her permission. In fact, we were chatting over email first thing this morning. Julia came to the school, she's a little bit older than some of the students, with a rough pass. Addicted to everything you can think someone could be addicted to. Some drugs that I'm familiar with, marijuana, hash, cocaine, but there were some drugs I've never heard of that she was addicted to. The addiction so bad that she had to steal to support the habit. You think Zacchaeus robbed people? She robbed people. Bad enough that she was thrown into jail several times. And then something happened. Julia had a life change, life transforming encounter with Jesus Christ. And Julia put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And she has changed. And every day I would walk in the classroom, I'd see her sitting in the front row with the most radiant smile and everything about her ambiance representing wonderful, wonderful change. The first day in the counseling class, I was kibitzing with the students, and I said, you know, one of the things I like is tea, and if you want to do well in the course, bring... And I was just being facetious. Every single afternoon, when I arrived, Julie would have tea. Not just a small cup, not medium, not large, but every day she had extra large chai tea for me. I said, Julia, I was just kidding. It's not necessary. Then she said something that caused a shiver to go up and down my spine. She said, John, said, most of my life, I have been a taker. I've taken drugs. I've taken and stolen from people. I've taken advantage of family and friends. And now I'm a giver. And she says, I'm not giving because I have to. She says, I'll do well enough in your course. I don't need to bribe you. But she says, I'm giving because I want to. And then she said this, I'm changed. I thought, that's the message of the gospel. I look at her and I'm going, from a worldly perspective, there's no way there should be that kind of change and transformation. But the cross changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Hey, later this week, there's a fellow. He struggled as an athlete. In fact, pitched in the minor leagues for years. He struggled with deep, deep problems. He had been abused as a boy. Terrible, awful abuse. And that had a very strong hold on him. This fellow was brought up in a Christian home. He had faith in Jesus, but there was a deeper change needed in his life. It got pretty bad. His wife and young family left him. His struggles were that deep, that agonizing. But then this fellow had a very significant encounter with Jesus. And things slowly and gradually changed. And this Tuesday night, opening game for the Toronto Blue Jays, R.A. Dickey, the Cy Young winner last year who signed with our national team, the Toronto Blue Jays, will throw that first pitch for the Toronto Blue Jays. Does God change people? You better believe it. I'm up here this morning, and I have a sense and knowledge of some stories I will not share, but I look around this auditorium, and I can point to men and women who have been changed. And my message for you is God, the Lord who could change Zacchaeus, who could change Julia, the God who changed the outlook for R.A. Dickey, is the God who can change you. And a God who can change. I don't care what your situation, what your circumstance. Nor am I saying that life will not have difficulties or problems moving forward. But the change God makes is a change of the heart. He gives you new purpose, new direction. He gives you new life. Death and resurrection. I said on Good Friday that yes, we come here this morning to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, but I made no mistake when I said the story of Zacchaeus is a story of death and resurrection. Did you know that in the story we just read, there was a funeral service? You're going, what? I stood up, I read those verses, I didn't hear of a funeral service, but when Zacchaeus was touched by Christ, when Zacchaeus encountered Jesus, that day, he died to sin. It says of all of us, once we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Does that ever describe Zacchaeus? But that day, that afternoon in Jericho, there was a funeral service for Zacchaeus. And when Zacchaeus responded to the offer of salvation from Jesus, my guess is there were some disciples of Jesus jumping up, dancing around the table, crying out, "He's alive! He's alive!" And they were referring to Zacchaeus. Once he was dead in his trespasses and sins, but now alive. Let's look at some verses. Before I do that, I just want to make a quick reference to a story that I think will illustrate and highlight this idea of being alive. You've heard the story, some of you, of a resort place in South Africa. And families would go there to have a good time, and there was horseback riding, and there was mini golf, and there was a large pool. And every hot summer day, the kids and families would be jumping and splashing in the pool. Except one afternoon, when early in the afternoon, all of a sudden, there was a shriek from one of the moms. Her little boy had gotten into the deeper section, and it looked like he was dead. The lifeguards jumped in immediately to the rescue, and they did everything they could to revive the boy. Soon the paramedics came, and over the camp, over that conference center for the rest of the afternoon, things were eerily quiet. All appearances were that this little boy had died. That evening at supper time, it was very, very, very quiet in the dining hall. And the director came to the podium, and everybody bracing for a sad and terrible announcement. Well, and all of a sudden, the director paused and then shouted and cried out, "He's alive! He's alive! The little boy is alive!" And that changed everything. Death and resurrection. What does it say in Scripture? You see, it's one thing for us to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, but the beautiful truth of Easter is that by faith, we can be united with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. This is what Zacchaeus previews for us. It can be our experience today. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is the true resurrection of the believer. Ephesians 2, 4-6, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Wow. Death and resurrection. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, you have had a funeral service. Your position is you are dead to sin. And because of God's wonderful work of resurrection and redemption, you are alive in Christ Jesus. Disciples back in Zacchaeus' day often would go to live with the Master, to live with the Lord. And the beautiful message of Easter, for Pentecost was soon to happen, is that this risen Jesus can live in your life through the indwelling presence of the Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17, which to me should have been a banner that Zacchaeus would have worn, a placard that would have said it so true. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We are new creations in Jesus Christ because of the cross and the resurrection. Let me be very blunt. Some of you need to experience change this morning. You're going, "I'm not content with the way my life is going, the direction I'm headed. I need new life, new purpose, new direction." And that is the wonderful message that our risen Lord Jesus Christ gives us today. You can be changed today. Some of us are believers in Jesus Christ. You have been changed. And we need to live in a way that is consistent with those who have been changed. When you find yourself wallowing in sin as a believer, you need to stop yourself and you need to say, this is not true to who I am. This is not consistent with who I am in Christ. And we have the power through Christ to live as new creations in Jesus Christ. Is change a one-time thing? No. All of us need continually and in an ongoing sense to experience the change that Christ offers us. And this morning, my prayer is that we would embrace the truth of the death and resurrection of Christ, that we would believe it's real, but that we would go one step further and believe that we can experience the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in a way that is profound and a way that is life-changing. That this Jesus who conquered death 2,000 years ago can indwell me and give me a sense of purpose and direction and give me new life. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ changes everything. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? I know some of you are going, John, you got to be patient because my situation is tough. My circumstances are hard. I've developed a pretty hard heart when it comes to things of Jesus. And my prayer this morning is that Jesus will soften your heart. If Jesus could get through to somebody like Zacchaeus, guess what? He can get through to you. And if you listen carefully over the next few minutes as we close our service, there's going to be some very vibrant, exciting music. But even in the midst of it, if you listen carefully, I guarantee you, you will hear the name, your name, as Jesus calls it. Are you happy? Some of you are going, I am. Are you unsure? Happy Easter comes to those who really believe that the cross, that the resurrection can change everything. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have an exciting finale to our service as we have a wonderful time of celebrating the truths of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus.